Blog Talk Radio.
Long day for Kevin Sumlin and a shiny result for Arizona State. The Sun Devils 70-7 in the Territorial Cup 2020 that may be most remembered for a Jackson Heat touchdown. And we'll see what happens in the future for these two Arizona-based colleges.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show, Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday. We are here at Madero's Five Cigar and Tobacco. Thank you for joining us today. And yes, I am telling you all week, I'm hitting you with it. Can't speak. Still happy. 70-7. And I will keep reminding you the rest of the week. And I'll probably remind you again before this show is over. Welcome, everyone, to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we got a loaded show for you today. We got some James Harden talk to get to, NFL picks, some thoughts on the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, and a couple things that he said that I thought were eyebrow-raising. ASU Hoops just looked terrible last night in the second half. We'll get to that. And how ironic that the kitchen is somehow returning to the baker. Cards updated more, and the one and only Ed Cole joining us today. So with all that in mind, let's get right to it. This is the Cave Show with PLR. We are, of course, it's Thursday, Friday Eve, Cigars with the Cave Show, live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get you down here, let them know the PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member, get your access to the member lounge. Get a locker that backs right up to a humidor. So when you purchase your sticks that you know you're going to enjoy, sit down here and enjoy them back there as a member. If you want to just check it out, no worries. Get a day pass. Tons of TVs all over this place. But back in the member's lounge is also a refrigerator, microwave, everything you need to make it like home. They do serve beer and wine, so you can get your adult beverage on while you're watching your games. They do have all of the league passes, so this is the best place in the Valley of the Sun to watch sports. If you can't make it down here, no worries, we understand. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection. Get your sticks ordered early enough in the day. They will go out that same day. All this done right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And don't forget to let them know the PLR of the Cave Show sent you. Call in number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Want to take a couple calls today. Oh, and just so everyone knows, former Sun, 10-year NBA vet Stephen Hunter will be joining us tomorrow with the NBA season coming up on Tuesday, and get another NBA guy on before the season starts. And when I say an NBA guy, I don't mean a guy that talks about the NBA. I mean an NBA guy. And stay tuned because Monday's show may be 2 hours. I'll let you know for sure on Friday, tomorrow, but it may be 2 hours because a lot of NBA stuff to go over with the season starting. And with all that said, let's jump out, take a couple calls. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. 7828, all calls, like I say, may be the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Call on hold. Thank you for waiting. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, my buddy, what's happening?
All right. Well, it seems like that Hayward just can't catch a break. I mean, wherever he goes, his injuries go right along with him. Oh, boy.
That, you know what? I was talking about that yesterday, actually, with Ed Cole, and it's just – It's sad. That dude just can't. No matter what happens, it seems like there's something. So he has a fractured finger, and we'll see how long that holds him out. But it's amazing. That poor guy, man. I actually feel for this dude.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I mean.
But not his pocket.
Just seems like, you know,
I don't feel for his pocket.
He just keeps on going.
Yeah, he just can't seem to catch a break. And we'll see what turns out. You know, but I tell you what, I'm sure based on how it started for him in Boston, a fractured finger is something he will at least be fine on as the season, you know, progresses.
Right. I'm sure. And Pac-12 has their championship game tomorrow. this should be fun.
You know, I'm curious to see how all these bowl games jump off, because there's a lot of teams that are declining to go to bowl games.
I know.
So I'm curious. Winning the Pac-12, no matter what, guaranteed you. Even if you didn't get in the playoffs, it guarantees you a New Year's Day game. Now, if you're one of the lower tier teams, those are bowl games. I just don't know if you want to go to. I mean, with everything that's going on in California, they have bowl games all over the place in California, Holiday Bowl, Rose Bowl, and there's a couple more in the San Francisco area where they can't even play football. So I wonder how they're going to break all this stuff down. And is it worth it?
Well,
I mean, is it worth it to play in the, you know, the Popeye's Chicken Bowl in the Bahamas?
Third-tier games, no. No, that's not really necessary. I mean, you know, we don't really care about the Idaho Potato Bowl or the Sarsaparilla Bowl, or you want to call it. You know, that doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
You know, if you take away the rose, sugar, cotton, and the orange, now you got another thing coming.
Yeah, even the Cotton Bowl, if it's not part of the playoffs or the championship,
I think it is.
Does it matter? Okay. I'm just trying to think. Does it matter if you're not playing in the playoffs? And actually, online with us right now, the one, the only, Ed Cole, and we'll chime in. I'll get his opinion. Ed, does it even matter if it's not for the playoffs? Do the bowl games even? Is it worth the risk?
It's only worth the risk for the teams that are in the bowl games. If I agree with you and Lou, if it's not Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson, if it's not based around a championship atmosphere and it's for the national championship, then most people really, honestly, they really don't care about those smaller bowls. It's great that the smaller teams, all the mid-major teams and the smaller teams be below them actually get in a bowl game. And it's cool that they get to travel and experience the whole bowl situation, even though it'll be different this year because they probably won't have any fans in any of these bowl games. And if they do, it'll be a minute amount of fans. But I feel for the kids that work so hard and actually work as hard as they do, Lou and Paul, to actually be in a bowl game, even though it may be a lower level bowl. But, you know, again, in this day and age, if it's not about a national championship situation, a lot of people really don't care about the lower bowls.
A lot of people don't anyway. That's why they want, you know, try to think of a playoff system, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another case where saying that one of the coaches is saying, like, well, I don't really like this bowl system because, you know, some of the teams get cheated out, you know, with saying like a one-loss team while other teams rank higher and have two losses. You know, I think there's a point there on that. I'm going to read it up on my show Saturday. Thank you. He's got a point there, though.
I 100% agree.
But thing, though, too. There is no perfect system in college football. I've been saying that for years. But if people listen to me, no.
Of course, Lou and Paul, just look at how many games have been canceled. I mean, look here locally with Paul's alma mater, ASU, how many games they lost because of the COVID situation, even though they went down to Tucson and absolutely smacked the you-know-what out of that team down in Tucson, which is still to Paul's delight. You know, that
hey, can you guys hold on? Hold on one second here.
Long day for Kevin Sumlin.
Oh.
And a shiny result for Arizona State, the Sun Devils. 70-7 in the Territorial Cup 2020 that may be most remembered for a Jackson Heat touchdown. And we'll see what happens in the future for these two Arizona-based colleges.
Now, was that what you were talking about?
I knew he missed himself.
Yeah. Well,
Lou,
yeah,
did you
guess we opened our big mouth too soon, didn't we?
Yeah.
We opened our big mouth too soon.
So listen, hey Lou, I gotta jump the commercial, my friend. Hopefully we get you on tomorrow. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Lou.
I appreciate it. This is the Game Show with PLR. We'll be right back after these
messages.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. Make sure if you ever miss any parts of this show whatsoever, catch us on the replay on KSRN. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. Also, remember, at 1 o'clock, we are on live every single day. Go to sportscave.com. Hit that listen live button. It will route you right to us. If you hit that button any other time whatsoever, it will route you to all of our shows. So pick one. Maybe you missed one show. No excuse for that, but maybe you missed one show. Go and check it out, or you can re-listen to one that you liked a lot and marked it as favorite. Remember also at thesportscave.com, Cave is with the K, we have some of our favorite shows on the front right-hand side, left-hand side of the page for you to check out. And like I said, we're live 1 o'clock every day, BTRKSRN. On the Kerry Lackey line right now, I've got the man himself, the one and only sports personality, former digital media head over for the Washington football team, my brother in crime, Ed Cole. But before he speaks, we always want to kick off the show in style. So let's kick this off the same way another kickoff was done this week.
They first played the year the paperclip was patented, 1899. The Territorial Cup is off and running in 2020. And the kickoff to the end zone, DJ Taylor willing to return it from 5 yards back. And Taylor made a great choice. Taylor down the sideline. DJ Taylor! What a start to this rivalry in 2020! Wow!
You're going to bring...
So, thought I'd kick it off with another kickoff. And so, I got a thousand of these posted up. Ready to roll.
You know, that is so fitting, PLR, that you kick off the show with a wonderful kickoff that DJ Taylor had to kick off the slaughter of that team down in Tucson.
Yep. I just want to have everything ready to roll, ready to go. You never know. I'll be playing this clip for a year.
Bruh.
Just so everyone knows.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh. Oh, we were doing our 5A championship game on Thursday on that night, and we were doing a game and they gave us a score, and they were like, Arizona State's up 70-7. I was like, wait a minute, but it turned out to be true. What did y'all do to them, Paul? What did you do to them?
The same thing we've been doing for the last 3 years. Beating their you-know-what. Because that's what we do. That's what you do. Look, at that school is in disarray.
Yes.
Their football program is in disarray. And you know what? Kevin Sumlin seems like a nice gentleman. I've interviewed him before. He seems like a really nice gentleman. But you know what he did?
Yeah, he is.
You know what he did?
I'm
going to tell you what he did. You want to know what he did? He had an opportunity to get the ASU job before he took Texas A&M. You know what he didn't do? He didn't take the job. You know whose name circulated a little bit? You know his name? When his name circulated before Herm was hired, he made it seem like he didn't want this job anyway. So you know what? He took the job down the street. Well, I guess there's a difference between the Paradise Valley zip code and the Phoenix zip code. And you know what happened to him? I ain't got nothing else to say. That was all that being said. I always feel bad for staff because there's a lot of grad assistants. They're going to lose their jobs. They're unpaid. A lot of coordinators lose their jobs. They don't make a lot of money. I feel really bad for people to lose their money. But I will say this, but I keep saying it. It doesn't really always hurt my feelings when coaches in major schools get fired because they walk away with some fat pockets. And we saw that down in Auburn when their coach left with $21.7 million and half of it had to be paid in 30 days. That's not a bad gig to leave.
No, it's not. And it's not bad for, you know, like you, I feel so bad for Kevin Sumlin that he got fired. And like you said, all the coaches and the grad assistants and the kids, most of all, the kids in that program that are now just completely devastated because their program, as bad as it was before that game, it's even flipped, it's even worse now because, you know, they're like, okay, what's our future going to be? We don't have a head coach. We don't know what our direction is going to be. But like you said, Kevin Sumlin is not hurting. His pockets are not hurting because he's getting what? $7.5 million buyout from U of A.
Yep, I didn't even know they had that much down there.
Oh,
I didn't even know they had that kind of money down there because I've been. Same amount of money they have to fund the whole city. But that's not me to speak of stuff. But I'll leave that. I will get into this. I want to flip back to what we were saying to the caller about some of these bowl games. And listen, when I say this, I'm not taking away the accomplishments for what some of these schools did and the ultimate goal of playing in a bowl game. And I've been looking up a lot of these bowl games. I noticed a lot of them are in states where there really aren't that many restrictions, like Florida and Texas and Arizona, where there's not that many restrictions and where everything will come off without a hitch. And they'll probably put some fans in the stands too. But, Ed, when I look at some of these matchups, do we really need the Myrtle Beach Bowl in a year of pandemic? I mean, if we didn't get to see North Texas play against App State, would that be the end of it? And we didn't get to see in the Camellia Bowl, Ball State play, would that be the end of it? I mean, there are certain things I'm looking at. Look, I cover the Guaranteed Rate Bowl down here, but I can tell you, Texas Tech and Wisconsin isn't like making me say, "Ooh, I can't wait to cover the Guaranteed Rate Bowl game this year." I don't know if the risk is worth the reward.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the kids, and even we talk about the Lending Tree Bowl, Western Kentucky and Georgia State. Will the world continue? Will the world stop revolving if those two teams don't play each other in Mobile? No, the world's going to keep running. But I think for the kids and the programs and the parents that they've all sacrificed so much for all their kids, all these young men to play in these respective programs. And for the teams that aren't able to do it because the games are canceled or what have you, it's I feel bad for them. But I would love to see those kids play, just for the sake of them playing because of what they sacrificed and all the hard work and everything they've done, Paul, to get to this point.
No, and I'm with you. I'm Nick Carey, Lackey Law Line, the one only Ed Cole, former digital media head over at Washington. With Washington National Football Team, I can't speak today, Ed. What's wrong with me? And then, of course, on Inside Sports, and this is sports personality here in the Valley. I get it.
Hey, Paul.
So
on December 31st, do you know who's going to be in the Arizona Bowl down there in the scene of the crime?
Hold on. Ask me who ain't going to be in it. Go ahead, ask me.
The team that's actually the home team at that stadium.
Exactly. It's looking like it's going to be the prelims say it'll be Boise against Buffalo.
Yeah.
So look, I get it that you want the kids to play. I get it. I really do. But and you know, at the end of the day, these bowl games aren't about the kids playing in these lower tier bowls. It's not about them. It's about the money grab. Because kid number and forgive me for just telling the truth, but the kid playing at Appalachian State that's the walk on, or the kid playing at North Texas that maybe just barely got a scholarship, or Ball State that just barely got a scholarship, they're all ready for their career in the world that we live in. They may already know the NFL isn't their next stop. So I can understand why they may want to lace it up one last time. I'm just looking at it like, man, you talk about an event that may be a super spreader. I don't know. I'm weighing the pros and the cons. I can see it both ways. Yeah, if I was an athlete and this was my last chance probably to lace them up and go out there, and you know they're going to put the kids in that probably won't play again. You know they're going to get their day in the seniors. They're going to get a chance to go out there and hit and have that memory for life. But then on the other side, you're thinking, wow, we have to figure out how we are going to keep these kids safe, get them traveled. If Buffalo plays in the Arizona Bowl, they're going to fly from New York, where the pandemic is high as hell, where they're shedding the state, to Arizona, where they have a curfew in Tucson right now until the 23rd from 5 to starting at 10 at night. Where our infection rate is at 15%. I'm just saying, I can see both sides, but I don't know if that totally makes sense.
Yeah, you put it that way, it's like, why would you want to, you know, put out that major expense, like you said, for to fly an entire team cross country, and you know, put them in hotels and meals and all that stuff. And it's just there's just so much that goes into a bowl game, even the lower tier bowls. It's still a lot of money that's invested in both programs to actually get there and play and actually get home. And you're like, okay, do you really want to risk all those young men and all those coaches and parents? I'm sure there'll be some parents that'll probably travel. And if they, like you said, if they let fans in, how many fans are they going to let in? How socially distanced are those fans actually? Are they actually going to listen and actually be social distanced? Because you know, people are people. They're, you know, people are tired of this pandemic. People are going to do what they want to do, even though they claim that they're going to abide by the rules. Once they get inside that stadium, you don't know what they're going to do. It is so many different factors that go into a bowl game, and if it's actually worth playing it or not. Now the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl, Sugar and Rose Bowl. Yeah, those are all big bowls because those are all semifinals and championship games. So those definitely have to be played. No question.
and we've seen over the last few years, unless they're playing for a title, big players with big names that know they're going to get drafted, they're opting out so they don't get hurt. You don't think,
right?
If you're a team, if you're a big name player, you know you're going to go in the top 10, but you're going to go play in, you know, a bowl game that's not going to lead to the national championship game. Yeah, those guys aren't going to play this year. If they didn't play last year when there wasn't a pandemic, they're definitely not going to
play this year. No.
So,
like you said,
we're so much
on the line, and I'm sorry.
Continue, please.
Because you're not sure if you're one of those top players, like, okay, what is the NFL going to do as far as the NFL combine is concerned? Are they going to have a combine? They are going to have a combine. You know, is it And it's going to be so close to going to Indianapolis for the combine or whatever the NFL decides to do with that. And like you said, is the risk worth the reward to even playing a bowl game that's, like you said, Paul, it's not even worth anything if it's not for the national championship, if it's not for that gold trophy, that beautiful gold trophy, then why do you want to even chance it? Because you got so much ahead of you once the NFL draft comes, once you hit the combine, you have all these meetings with the teams, and you don't want to go in there tainted because of a bowl game that you really shouldn't have played in.
Nope. Before we take our next break, Ed, I want to touch on this. ASU played last night, basketball team, and they lost a game that they really should have won. Now, the game against Villanova, you can understand them losing. Early in the season, a lot of freshmen get a lot of time, and Villanova was ranked number 3 or 4 in the country at the time. Then they lose at home to San Diego State. Again, a game you should win, but you're ranked 23, they're ranked 24. They have a lot more upperclassmen than you, so evenly matched, whatever. UTEP last night, you come out to a 41-33 halftime lead. You shouldn't give up 43 points on and score 22. You shouldn't go 1-for-18 from the arc last night and losing that game. And what stuck in my mind was last night, end of the game, Bobby Hurley said this, Ed. We have to decide if this is important enough to commit the emotional attachment to appear like you're really interested in playing and competing hard through the whole game. For 20 minutes, it was mysterious how inept we were in terms of competing and giving energy. I got another quote I want to read you, but I want to tell you this after I get your response to this. ASU has a very young team. A lot of talented freshmen that have the rumors of going pro. I think Bobby is feeling what Coach K and Calipari, more than anyone, has mastered. When you bring in 5 or 6 guys that know they're only there to stop and go to the next level, it is hard to get them to play cohesively and get them to play as a team and sacrifice a little bit for the greater good of the team. And as Bobby said, if you notice lately, he said this about 2-3 weeks ago in the Zoom meeting, if you notice, teams aren't drafting necessarily the guys that are averaging 30, 40 points in the game. They're drafting the guys that are making their teammates better with talent and showcase that. And that's how you see in Kentucky, Devin Booker was a 6 man on Kentucky. A lot of people don't even know Bam Adebayo played for Kentucky. So there are guys that you have to understand that the NBA sees your talent. They understand where you are. Right now, last night, Ed, that game looked like a one-on-one second half. The second half of the game looked like a one-on-one in-the-park play tournament where everyone just tried to get theirs. If ASU plays like that, I don't care how much talent they have, they're going to lose.
Yeah. I'm looking at the numbers, Paul, like I'm sure you are. 9-for-31 in the second half, 0-for-11 from three-point range. You missed 5 free throws. Yeah, you lost by 13, but 5 free – you can't miss 7 free throws altogether. And Josh Christopher had a good game, really good game, 24 points. Alonzo Verge had 13, but Remy Martin had 9. Jalen Graham had 9. But contributions came really from nobody else after that. And like you said, and when you have that kind of mentality where you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go through the motions because – I know that the buck doesn't stop here for me. I got so many visions and dreams of going to the NBA, so I'm just going to lollygag my way through because I think I know in my heart of hearts, at least I think I know that the NBA is going to take – somebody in the NBA is going to take me regardless of how I play this year because they've seen the body of work I've done even up to this point. But you can't do that. Like, you can't do that, Paul. You have to live for the here and now. You play for Arizona State or whatever school you play for. You can't just sit back and just say, okay, I'm just going to, oh, man, it's the pandemic and, you know, games are getting canceled and I don't really care about this season because the NBA is my final destination. No, you gotta play hard all the way through because, as you said, Paul, these teams are looking at you. And if they see you slacking off and lollygagging, they're going to be like, oh, wow, this kid's he's a lot different than what we saw before. What's up with his attitude? Why is he playing like this? Why is he slacking when he's running up the court? Why is he not playing defense? Why is he not sacrificing for the greater good of his basketball team? And they'll take second looks at those guys and be like, well, the guy that I was feeling before, I don't know if we should go for this guy now. Unless he's got to change considerably for us to take him.
And it's the selfishness. And I think that's what Bobby was getting into. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said, and I'll say this before we get your response before we go to break. He said, Remy, I need to talk to him. He needs to have more of an impact, get guys more motivated somehow. He's been on 3 years of really good teams that have been relevant nationally and in our conference. I just wonder how much he enjoys this team. You could throw away everything that he said the first part. How much he enjoys this team.
Ooh.
Last year, guys played hard together. I'm not saying guys aren't playing hard. They're not playing hard together. They're playing hard for their own tape.
For themselves.
For the team's tape. And I think that makes a difference. And when you have a guy like Remy Martin who comes back and he's playing with these freshmen, I get the feeling from what Bobby's saying, they're not taking the time to learn from a guy that's been in this program, that's been winning in this program, that's gone to 3 tournaments in a row, and they're just figuring, hey, we're going to just do our thing. I think that last statement, if I was on that team, if I was a player, and the head coach said, my All-American, my guy that came back, my guy that's led this team for the last 2 years, I wonder how much he enjoys playing with them. That would hurt my feelings. And it would really make me stop and think. And I wonder if that's what Bobby was getting at when he made that statement.
I think he was. I think he was probably trying to light a fire under Remy and put him on notice and put everybody else on notice that, look, okay, just because, you know, Remy is the man here. Yes, he's got stature. He's got clout. He's got time here. But still, he can still get it as far as being called out in the media or your head coach looking at you looking and feeling a certain way about you. It doesn't matter who you are. If Bobby doesn't feel that you're playing up to his standards, playing up to the standards of Arizona State basketball, then he's going to call you out on it. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're James Harden. I don't care if you're any of the other greats that have ever walked through Desert Financial Arena, Wells Fargo Arena, whatever the arena has been called over the years, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're not playing to the level of what ASU basketball and the standards that they're trying to set, then you're going to get called out on it. And I'm sure he probably has no problems benching Remy if he's not playing well and plays with somebody else that is playing well, somebody that is actually hungry and wants to win.
The problem is, I think he was slapping the other team, the rest of his team, with that comment by saying, look, Remy is almost as interested in playing with you guys. And that's the part that I'm saying. I think those freshmen really needed to hear that, saying, hey, look, Remy's gone after this show. One way or the other, he's gone. Either he's, even if he's obviously going to be in the NBA next year, but even if he's not in the NBA, he's gone. And he doesn't want to play with you. So, or is he? And I'm questioning if he's interested. And that says a lot. Listen, when we come back, I want to ask a couple questions about Harden and the Suns, not together, obviously. And then, of course, we've got picks coming up, and I got some NFL questions for you. We'll do all that right here on The Cave Show with PLR, and I got my main man on today, the one, the only, Ed Cole.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Hey, this is Kofi, and I don't go a day without listening to The Cave Show with PLR.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Cave Show with BLR. This is BLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, Caves with a K. Website is sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. A lot of good stuff popping up. Got some quotes from Devin Booker a little earlier today. Had a Zoom meeting right before we came on air. And he talked about, you know, it's good to get out and play some games, some preseason games, because no matter what you do in practice, you can't replicate the speed of the game. So they're out there pushing tempo, seeing where they could go, seeing what's going on with everything. So we're going to get into that in a second. Like I said, I'm the Kelly Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Ed Cole, former digital media head for the Washington Football Team, Inside Sports, and sports personality here in the Valley. Ed, the Suns, and I'm going to tell you what I think of the Suns right now. I don't really care if they win or lose in the preseason because it doesn't carry over. The record doesn't carry over. I'm looking for cohesiveness, and it looks like Monty's playing a lot of guys to see what they have, because we know that when the season gets going, he's not playing all these guys all these minutes. We know that Book is starting. We know that Chris Paul is starting. We know that Cam and Mikal are starting. We know DeAndre is starting. And we know Dario's getting a boatload of time off the bench. We know that Campaign and Javon are going to get their time. Then that's when you start looking at where he's going to get these other guys in. But there's going to be guys like Etwan Moore or guys, you know, like Langston Galloway. There are days where they're just not going to play. It's just going to be a DNP. So I think he's getting a look at everyone. So I'm not too worried about the record right now. I'm more worried about them finding cohesiveness and being able to play together. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. Motley, Moore, Galloway. I mean, they got all contributions all from a lot of guys last night. Paul, 45 points off the bench. Javon Carter had 15. Jalen Smith played 27 minutes last night. Didn't shoot. Wait a minute, 1-for-6, 0-for-5 from 3-point range. But that's okay. Like you said, Paul, it really doesn't matter. It's preseason games. This does not carry over into the 72-game season. It's like you said, it's all about Monty finding out, like you said, Paul, just finding out the guys that he needs to have and what he has to work with over the course of a 72-game season, and they make it all work. Like you said, you know it's going to be Crowder and Bridges, Ayton, Paul, and Booker. Those are going to be the main guys, but who are you going to have after that? You know, who are you going to have as relief, because there's going to be a lot of nights where some guys are not going to be clicking on all cylinders, and you're going to be able to have to rely on your bench, just like they did in Orlando. You learned about a lot of guys. Monty learned a lot about his guys when they went to Orlando, and they had that 8-0 run. So now that these games are actually going to count, once the season starts next week against Dallas, once they kick off that home schedule, then he's got to know what he has and what he doesn't have, and what he's got to work with moving forward.
Yeah, and you know what? I think this team is going to be okay. To be honest with you, I agree. In my mind going in as about a fifth, sixth seed in the West. But I'm hearing a lot of people talking, and I'm just honestly, I'm not worried about it right now. I think this team is going to be fine. I think there's obviously going to be some kinks you got to work out because you don't have a full training camp. But I'm not too worried about this team. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I like Chris Paul here, and I don't know how else to phrase it. I think they're going to be fine.
I agree, too. I agree with you, Paul. And it's also cool that they debuted the brand-new renovated arena last night for when the Lakers come in town with LeBron and AD coming in town. I think that's really, really cool. And depends on what they're going to do as far as fans are concerned. But that's also going to energize the guys, knowing that Robert Sarver and has spent so much money to get them a brand-new training facility, and they spent $230 million to upgrade the arena. So Robert Sarver in this city is completely invested in the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Suns were the original darlings of this city. So the Suns are never going to go away. But once fans hopefully get to come back and they get to see this team, and hopefully they will be exciting with Chris Paul and Devin. I want to see what those two kids can do as far as the backcourt's concerned. DeAndre looked good last night, 8 of 10, 5 of 5 on free throws. He had 9 rebounds in 25 minutes. So I want to see even more of a maturation from DeAndre moving forward. And I think Chris Paul is going to really be able to help him out with that.
James Harden came to camp looking like Kendrick Perkins. And he does not want to be in Houston. I think this is an exercise in futility. Unlike other sports where in football you can just let a guy rot if he doesn't want to be there, it's either play or don't. But when you have a guy like James Harden, who is the focal point of your team, and he has told you he doesn't want to be there, he can wreck the entire chemistry of that team. There's a new coach. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a new head, a new leader. And basketball is different. I understand he does. Generally, when you got 2 years left, you have no leverage. But he's a superstar with 2 years left with the new coach. Because of that, he has a lot of leverage. Because if he comes out and he goes opposite of what the team is trying to do, he could put a new coach in a tough position. Now, what I think management has to do is tell him, play your part until we can get you moved, so that way you don't ruin your trade value so we can get something for you. But, Ed, they got to get him out of Houston.
Yeah, and I'm sure you read this Tim McMahon article on ESPN. I read it too, and it put James Harden in a really bad light from all that was in that article about his propensity to be late, which really kicked off Russell Westbrook, which is one of the main reasons why he wanted out of Houston, because he couldn't deal with James Harden and him just being kind of just doing what he wants to do. And he's seeing around here that the Rockets go by the way James does. And like one of the former staffers said, whatever James wants, quote unquote. So that's not a good look for the Houston Rockets when James Harden has your entire organization hostage and they go by what he does and they have to consult with him on draft picks and free agents to come here and head coaches and all this other stuff. When it's just not good when, Paul, when you have one guy that is seemingly running the organization when it shouldn't be that way, superstar or not. But it's so bad, but you're right. They got to get him out of Houston, and I'm sure this is not a good look for him because of the way he's acting and the way he's conducting himself. Just by the way Kendrick Perkins was talking about it, he said he talked to a few general managers, and the general managers are like, yeah, we have some interest in James Harden, but the way he's been acting and the way he's been, again, conducting himself, especially in this offseason, and just showing up whenever he wants to show up, and he's in Atlanta, and he's in Vegas, he's with Lil Baby doing all this other stuff. It's not a good look for James Harden and his lack of professionalism and his lack of discipline.
Yeah, he's a hard trade, and I want you to really stop and think about this before we jump, because we got to slam this last 15 minutes. Think about it, Ed. If LeBron James moved teams, then LeBron James runs the team. So he runs it. You have to bring in the players that he's cohesive with. You got to get a coach that he likes playing for. You got to get a GM that wants to bring in the players he likes playing for. You got to be in a city that he's attracted to. You got to run the style of offense that he wants. You have to put him in a position where he's handling the ball. You have to be okay when he's moody. You have to do all this stuff. The difference is LeBron James, even whether he wins or loses, he gets you to the finals, he sells tickets, and people love to watch him play. And so at the end of the day, there's so much good to offset some of that other stuff. Every superstar has that. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to play half the games. Michael Jordan, we saw The Last Dance. There were times being his teammate wasn't easy at all. So superstars have their things. But if LeBron James right now said, I want out of L.A., there would be teams lined up to get it. If Steph Curry said, I want out of Golden State, there'd be teams lined up to get him. James Harden is an MVP winner, and teams aren't lined up to get him knowing he's available. I think that says a lot. And I think that sometimes you got to look at those four fingers pointing back at you and not that one finger pointing out.
It does, Paul, because I think it would be an entirely different situation for James Harden if he would have conducted himself like LeBron does. I mean, you never hear of any of this kind of stuff in a LeBron James situation. A story like this coming out, an entire story about James Harden and what he's done to the Rockets organization and how he's alienated so many different people, a la Russell Westbrook, I'm sure, Chris Paul as well, and so many different people in the organization, like, you know, ultimately probably ending Kevin McHale's time there. Just everything that's inside this article, which is so damning toward James Harden. If he would act a much more professional way right now, PLR, toward this trade scenario and winning out of Houston, maybe it would be a totally different situation. And maybe the trade possibly would have happened a lot quicker. But now that all this dirt is coming out on James Harden, teams are just like, yeah, James is talented. He's still a bad boy, but do we really want to have that kind of head case in our organization? And no, teams are just probably like, thanks, but no thanks.
It's tough for me. It's like being that perfect girl. She looks the way you want to look. She does all the things you want to do. But there are some things that you just don't know if you want to live with. With that being said,
yep.
You know what time it is. Make these NFL picks. We're going to blow through the last commercial, and we got to get it in. So let me give this prerequisite that I have to give every week. Every Thursday, Ed and I make picks. Ed is a very nice man. He lives a very innocent life. Me, on the other hand, I'm trying to put a little bit of money in your pocket. What Ed does, he does for entertainment purposes. I like to be entertained with money. So we're going to go ahead and give you these picks. And remember, if you're betting, only bet where it is legal in your state or find you a good bookie. With that being said, tonight, the Chargers go to Las Vegas and take on the Raiders. Vegas is favored by 3.5. Who are you rolling with, Ed?
I'm rolling with the Las Vegas Raiders to go to 8-6. Yeah, that's going to seal Anthony Lynn's fate even more, losing tonight.
Anthony Lynn can't get fired twice. He was already going to be fired anyway. Give me Vegas. Take those 3.5 points. We have Saturday football, Ed. Saturday football, we can't wait. Buffalo goes to Denver. They're favored by 6. Who are you rolling with?
I would take Buffalo and the points.
That's the first time that Ed has ever talked points. I can't let him come over. I can't let him do it. I'm with you. This will tell us if Buffalo's a good team. After beating Pittsburgh, can they come back? Because you knew they were up for Pittsburgh. Can they come back and get up for a game against a bad team cross country?
Mm-hmm.
This game will tell us that. I believe they will. Take Buffalo, takes the 6. Carolina goes to Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by 8.5. More Saturday football.
Yeah, Green Bay all the way. Aaron Rodgers is going to take those guys to their 11th win of the season.
I'm with you. Teddy Two Gloves won't be able to pull them out this week. Teddy Two Gloves struggled last week when they played Denver. And if you don't know who Teddy Two Gloves is, that's my main man, Mr. Teddy the quarterback, who played with two gloves. We'll save that game for last. Tampa goes to Atlanta. Tampa's favored by 6. Who you with?
I'll go with Tampa to win in Atlanta. Yeah, they're gonna knock off Matt Ryan and the Falcons. They'll go to 9-5.
Yeah. The only thing better at 43 than 42 is scotch and bourbon. I think Tampa wins, but I'm taking Atlanta in the points as a home dog. In a Who Cares game, one of our first Who Cares games, San Francisco goes to Dallas, favored by 3. Who you with?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure San Francisco is happy to get out of Arizona. They lost both of those home games at State Farm Stadium. I think they're going to go to Dallas and beat them. So I'll go to 49ers.
I'm going the other way. Take Dallas. Not the point. Take Dallas to flat out win this game. That's my upset of the week. Detroit goes to Tennessee. Tennessee's favored by 11. Who you with?
Yeah, I'll go Tennessee. Derrick Henry is going to run rampant all over the Lions, just like he did against Jacksonville last week. I got Tennessee all the way.
Okay, whenever you get to 11 points, that starts to make me a little worried. I have to break it down like this. If Detroit can score 14, can Tennessee put up 26? If Tennessee scores 28,
yep.
Does that mean that they're only going to give up 14 to Detroit? As much as I hate to say it, yeah, Detroit sucks. Everything in Detroit sucks. Detroit sucks since Motown left, and it will continue to suck until Motown comes back. Give me Tennessee and give me the points. Houston goes to Indy. Houston is a 7.5-point dog. Who you got?
I would take Indianapolis to win that game at home. Yep.
Indy's defense is too much for Houston. If the Bears' defense did that to Houston, you know what Indy's defense is going to do them? Give me Indy and the points. New England goes to Miami. It's a pandemic, but Florida's open. Will they get South Beached? Or does New England just suck? Who you with?
I'm going with Brian Flores and the Dolphins to knock off the Patriots. They're a really good
football team.
I'm with you.
Take those 3 points, take Miami. Seattle goes to Washington. Your crew. Seattle's a 5.5-point favorite. Who are you with?
Bro, I'm going with my boys. I'm going with the Washington football team to pull that upset and go to 7-7. And if they win that game, I believe they win the division. So my Washington football team.
Washington, this is my lock of the week. They will cover that. Seattle has a terrible defense. Washington's offense is not special, but that Washington defense of Chase Young is incredible. Give me Washington as an at-home dog easily. Jacksonville, 13-point dog in Baltimore. Who you with?
Go with the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens and the points. I think the Ravens are going to beat them that badly. Jacksonville is horrendous,
I'm with you.
Paul. They're awful.
Yes, they are. Speaking of horrific and awful, the only team worse than Jacksonville, 17-point dog to the Rams on the road. Who are you with?
Rams and the points. It may be even worse than 17.
They could have given this a 30. This could have been a college game, and they could have done the 35, 50-point thing, and I would still take the Rams over the Jets. Easily. KC goes to New Orleans. Their favorite by three. Taysom Hill. Who you with?
Ooh, I'm going with the Chiefs to go to the Superdome. If it would have been Drew Brees, I may think differently, but I think Patrick is going to pull off some magic in the Superdome. I'm going with Kansas City.
If you're a 3-point favorite on the road, that means you would have been a 6-point favorite on a neutral field and a 9-point favorite at home. I don't give a hoot. Who is quarterback in the Saints? That alien is still playing up in KC, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, yeah. Take them in the points. Sunday night game. Cleveland didn't disappoint last time we saw them play. They played a very entertaining game and what I like to call the poop bowl when when Mr. Jackson had to go take a poop. Cramps my foot. We've all made that walk before to the bathroom where you don't want to walk too fast, but you can't walk too slow. And you're squeezing and teasing all the way there. We know it, but Cleveland played very well. We get them now against the Giants. They're a 4.5-point favorite in New York. Who you with?
I'm going Cleveland in the points. The Giants' offense is horrific, and we saw that on Sunday against the Cardinals. How Hassan Reddick and that defense just destroyed the Giants. I'm going Cleveland in that game.
You know what? I'm with you too. I'm a fan of the Giants' defense. But they're going to get worn down by that running attack because Cleveland just keeps slapping you in the face. So give me Cleveland and give me those points. Pittsburgh, 13-point favorite at Cincinnati on Monday night. Who you with?
Pittsburgh in the points. No question. The Steelers are going to wallop the Bengals.
Okay. I'm really leery about this game, and I bet you're thinking, wow, how Cincinnati's terrible. Pittsburgh can't run, and Pittsburgh can't catch. And this crap is starting to catch up with them. I'm going to very gingerly take Pittsburgh and 13 points because, Ed, that means they really got to win by 14. That's 2 touchdowns, 2 extra points. I'm really iffy on this one, but I'm going to go ahead and be safe and take Pittsburgh. But I'm telling you, bet this is your last game if you're a better. which you should only do in your state if it allows gambling. Philadelphia comes to Arizona. Arizona is a 6-point favorite. Jalen Hurts, will he hurt a man?
No, no. I think the defense is rejuvenated, especially after what they did against the New York Giants. I think they're gonna hope they're. It'll be a mirror image of what they see on a daily basis when they see Kyler Murray every day at practice, what Jalen Hurts is. But I think the Cardinals are gonna beat the Eagles and go to 8-6 and continue to stay in that playoff hunt.
I'm with you. I don't know if it's the cigars or the Sprite, but I'm gonna take Arizona in this game and the 6 points. Diane, I'm gonna give you a chance. I'm going to give you a chance because last week you got real indignant when you came down to the last pick. And now we're down to the last pick again.
I had a feeling you were going to save this one for last. I knew you were going to do this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if your amount of indignatory, yeah, that's a word because I just made it up. If your level of indignatory carries over, Minnesota's favored by 3 at home against the Bears. Who you with?
I'm going with the Vikings and the points.
Let me cut this music off because Ed just wants to be indignant again. Dalvin Cook cannot run against the Bears. He can't do it. I don't care how good Jefferson is. I don't care if Buster screams. It's really a buster. The Bears gave that game away last time.
Paul Jefferson
Mitchell
is good.
Can you
guys stop him? He's good.
You know how they say dead air is bad and rare.
I guess the dead air says it all.
Yeah. Now, back away from Ed and dignitary, the Bears will win this game. And they're going to make it a mess in the NFC playoff picture. And the Bears aren't going to know what to do because Mitch is going to win another game. I'm taking the Bears. And you and everybody else can eat that 3 points because the Bears are not a doggone road in Minnesota. They're going to beat Minnesota. There you have your picks. There you have the indignatory. And there you have it. And, Ed, really quick, I want to touch on this before we go. We got about 30 seconds. Mitchell Trubisky said the Bears are listening to him and running some plays that are comfortable for him. Was that an indictment on the coach? Was that an indictment on the team? Or was it just him finally being vocal enough to say, guys, I don't really care what you want to call him, Matt, run plays that I can run.
I agree with the C. Yeah, run plays that I can run, plays that I'm comfortable with in the offense, and that'll make us successful. And, you know, they got 3 more games left, so let him run it and see what Mitchell can do for the rest of the games if he's healthy.
And we got 15 seconds. What's the worst Christmas present you ever got?
A brick.
Someone gave you a brick?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
Who the hell did you piss? We'll say that for next week. Who the hell are you pissed off? tell everyone where they can find you. Someone gave you a brick? God dang. Bro.
Okay, let's start
I'm
off.
Sorry?
You can catch us every week on Inside Sports Talk with Joanna and you and Twitter. At Ed Cole 43, Instagram at Edward Cole 301. You didn't have to guide me on that one.
You can catch us. You can catch us on the Twitter, the Facebook. Are you making me forget? And the Instagram at the Sports Cave. Cave is with K. The website is thesportscave.com. Cave is with K. PLR on sports on the Twitter. So I'm going to put you on the spot now. There is no show next Thursday because it is the eve of Christmas. So, We got a hook and quickie for Wednesday. You good?
Yes.
All right, we're going to do it Wednesday. We'll have the picks. We'll have everything. I'm going to give y'all some Christmas money next week. Boy, y'all going to be happy you know me. Because I'm going to put some change in your pocket. You're going to hit up every after Christmas sale in the world. To my brother, the one, the only, Ed Cole, I appreciate you. Maduro, thank you for hosting us as you do every Thursday on Cigars with the Cave Show. Until tomorrow when I host, it's Stephen Hunter. This is Cave Show. This is PLR and Tips. Bring us home.